BBC Radio 3. It's 5 o'clock and our Proms Bach Day continues now, live from the Royal Albert Hall. Here's Sarah Moore-Peach.
Welcome to everybody here in the Royal Albert Hall and to everybody listening live on BBC Radio 3 for the continuation of this year's Proms Bach Day. David Briggs this afternoon plays the magnificent Henry Willis organ here at the Royal Albert Hall, built in 1871. It's a masterpiece of Victorian organ building and technology, completely refurbished 6 years ago, and the equivalent in terms of power of at least a whole symphony orchestra, if not three or four. I'm going to be talking to David about this instrument and his repertoire a bit later on in this afternoon's concert. Now, earlier on today at Cadogan Hall, John Elliott Gardiner directed Bach's Brandenburg Concertos on period instruments. Pure Bach, you might say. But what we're getting next is not exactly impure Bach, but to hear his music played on an organ built more than a century after it was written and in arrangements made in the last 50 years is somehow to hear his music through the prism of time. But David Briggs is going to set us off with two moments of pure Bach, a little and large of the organ repertoire. The little is the chorale prelude Wachet auf, which we know as Sleeper's Wake. And first, the large, Bach's mighty Passacaglia and fugue in C minor. 20 variations and a magnificent fugue, all built on the 8-bar bass played on the pedals at the very beginning. It's a piece which has always been considered a dazzling showpiece, both for the player and for the instrument. So, to put the 147 stops and almost 10,000 pipes of the Albert Hall organ through its places, please welcome David Briggs. Well, I've come up, scaled the heights of the Albert Hall, halfway up at least, to the organ console to join David Briggs here. David, before we talk about Bach, which we must do, let's talk a little bit about this extraordinary organ. What is so special about it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thinking about this over the last few days and coming to rehearse here again at the Albert Hall. I think this really has to be the finest concert hall organ in the world. Maybe with Sydney and Dallas as very close seconds. But this organ really has all the incredible colour and vivacity and fire and promptness of attack and sheer just swathes of colour that I have a suspicion that if Bach could come to be with us here in 2010, he would have a very good time playing this marvellous organ.
Do you get a sense of Bach, the organist himself, when you play his music straight, as it were, as we just heard?
In a way, I mean, I think we know from what we read about Bach that he really could do things that nobody else could even get close to. And it's my own hypothesis that he had a very special link to his creator, in a way. You know, with Bach, you get this great sort of algorithm, so to speak, where 2 + 2 = 5. And it's that additional degree which I think we all, as human beings, have come to really need, and it's the sort of backbone, isn't it, of our not only of our music over the past 4 centuries, but also, in a way, of our whole civilization.
So what then of organ transcriptions of Bach by later composers and arrangers, including yourself, because the final thing we're going to hear is one of the orchestral suites in your own arrangement. What do we make of Bach translated in that way?
I think we should ask Sir Henry Wood here. Sir Henry.
Here is his bust. Remaining unusually silent.
Henry Wood just told me that his name is actually Heinrich. What is the
Holtz?
German for wood? Heinrich Holtz. And that he's a very distant descendant of J.S. Bach himself, which is why he's rather annoyed that he actually has to be facing the audience, because he would really prefer to be turned through 180 degrees and watching what was going on here. I don't think I've been very serious in my answer to your question, have
I? That's all right. I don't think Bach would always have been serious in answer to a question.
Although it's intriguing when you see photographs of Bach. Well, actually, let me
Shall we start again? I was interested to know, just on a serious note, just for a moment, what we make of Bach translated by 19th, 20th century composers to an organ like this, which is not the kind of organ Bach would have played. I mean, is it appropriate?
I think it's very appropriate, because we know that Bach loved to transcribe not only his own music for organ, for instance, the piece we've just heard, Wackethauf, was transcribed by Bach in 1746 at the request of his publisher, but he also transcribed other musicians' music. And the great thing about Bach is that it really transcends, I think, instrumental parameters in a way. And I think on an organ like this, as I say, with such a sort of vivacious sound, then I think he would really have enjoyed it. And we know that Bach was a great modernist. He was always looking into the future. And I think that if he had been around in 2010, what would he have had on his iPod? Maybe Debussy. He would have been composing cantatas in the whole tone scale and things like this. And I think that also he would have undoubtedly, ladies and gentlemen, had a private jet. he would have flown for Air Leipzig. And the problem would have been, I suppose, if we are hoping to land at London Heathrow Airport on the next flight, I am the captain, Johann Sebastian Bach. We are on autopilot because I have to write this very important cantata for next Sunday. And we are hoping that at Heathrow on 27 left, the runway, we have no sheep who are safely grazing or so.
David, thank you. Let them safely graze.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Bach arranged, almost recomposed by the American Virgil Fox, Comme Zeus'a Tord, Comme Sweet Death. And before that, Sheep May Safely Graze, the RFM Cantata number 208, Stainton B. Taylor's arrangement. And now we come to David Briggs's very own arrangement of the Orchestral Suite number 3 in D major, including the air on a G string.
Thank you.
The third orchestral suite by Johann Sebastian Bach, arranged by this afternoon's BBC Proms organist David Briggs. In fact, not so much an organ transcription as a reorchestration, really showing off the range of the Royal Albert Hall's organ. And in fact, David Briggs is motioning to the organ at the second star of this afternoon's recital. That much-loved second movement, the so-called Air on a G-string, we're going to hear later on tonight, as well as orchestrations of two other pieces David Briggs just played, Sheep May Safely Graze and Sleepers Wake. They'll all be played for us here this evening by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. And among tonight's arrangers of Bach for orchestra is the Proms founder conductor Sir Henry Wood, whose bust is peering out over us here at the Royal Albert Hall. I wonder how he'd feel about having been renamed Heinrich Holtz by David Briggs, or indeed how J.S. Bach would feel about being given a whole new career as an airline pilot. We shall never know. Well, besides playing havoc with history, David Briggs has just treated us to an hour's feast of Bach on the organ, and he has one more offering for us. David Briggs playing the organ of the Royal Albert Hall, the Vadinery from Bach's Orchestral Suite No. 2 in B minor. Final encore from his recital here at the Proms as part of our Bach Day this year. Well, that's all from us here this afternoon, but do join us again at 7:30 back here at the Hall when the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra heave Bach into the 20th and 21st centuries. But first, it's on to Broadcasting House. Jill Anderson.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Sarah Moore-Peach there at the Royal Albert Hall. Well, coming up in about 8 minutes' time, jazz record requests with Geoffrey Smith. But first, I thought we'd hear some more Bach, this time played by the Jacques Lussier Trio. This is the last movement of the Brandenburg Concerto No. 5 in D. the last movement of Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5 in D, as interpreted by the Jacques Lussier Trio. Jacques Lussier playing the piano, Benoît Dunier de Segonzac bass, and André Arpino drums.
Drama on 3, The White Devil.
Bracciano now lives in Rome, and by close panderism seeks to prostitute the honour of Vittoria Corombona.
John Webster's revenge tragedy, first performed in 1612, now set in a murky underworld of the 1950s.
Who lodged beneath your roof that fatal night your husband broke his neck?
I was there.
Your business, Bracciano?
Why? I came to comfort her.
A passion so strong it drives a man to murder, and in doing so conjures up a deadly enemy.
Bracciano, I am now fit for thy encounter. I'll ne'er think thee dead till I can play at football with thy head.
Classic drama, The White Devil, tomorrow night at 8:45 here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, the time now is 6:15, time for Geoffrey Smith to introduce more of your jazz record requests.
Hello. All things come to those who wait, which may be why this delayed edition has acquired an extra 15 minutes, which will come in handy for some of the slightly longer tracks you've requested across the jazz spectrum. Funk from John Handy, Diana Krall in collaboration with Elvis Costello, and liberation music from Charlie Hayden stand cheek by jowl with a Stand Get Samba, a standard by Tubby Hayes, and Django Reinhardt's Gypsy Swing, before Johnny Hodges takes us out with a classic blues. And the blues is where we start, in memory of an esteemed piano man. Johnny Parker died recently, and Bob Goff of Walton-on-Thames wants to salute him with his greatest hit, Bad Penny Blues, with Humphrey Lyttleton.
Thank you.
instant immortality, Bad Penny Blues, the late Johnny Parker inspiring Humphrey Littleton into the top 40 and the hearts of a generation. They recorded it in 56 with Jim Bray bass and Stan Gregg drums. I'll bet that struck a chord with Kathy Wilkes of Bristol. Her husband, Tony, says Kathy loves the blues, and he wants to celebrate her birthday tomorrow with a classic, Trouble in Mind, by Chippy Hill and Louis Armstrong. Vintage blues Chicago style. Bertha Chippy Hill held forth on Trouble in Mind with Richard M. Jones piano, and on cornet Louis Armstrong, showing the way to the future of blues and jazz in 26. And so to a son of Louis, 20 years later, heading uptown to the melting pot of bebop in Harlem. For Brian Hyde of Romford, Fats Navarro joins the cutting edge crew going to Minton's.
Thank you.